So, hi guys, thanks for tuning in to Beauty by Dr. K, and we are listening to Beauty Bites, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon with Dr. K, and I'm thrilled to have on the podcast today Dr. Mona Vand. She is the pharmacist who doesn't like pharmaceutical medications, right?
That is right.
And we are going to talk about all kinds of things. So what are you famous for, Mona, for my listeners who don't know you?
Really everything wellness. You know, I kind of come from a field where you're supposed to fix most things with a prescription, and I believe in doing everything else until you get to that step. Like, yeah. Obviously sometimes you need it, but, you know, let's do lifestyle modifications, diet, stress relievers, meditation, exercise, all of that until it's, of course, superfoods.
Exactly. And I'm a big believer in that too, but I like that you also understand the power of regular pharmaceutical grade ingredients because sometimes you need that. And to get the best results, you need the best ingredients.
I actually really, really strongly believe in that, and I've been telling more and more people on some of my content, just because I prefer the natural route doesn't mean that I'm against plastic surgery, doesn't mean that I'm against medicine, because like all the vitamin C in the world is not going to fix your dark circles like Juvederm could, or you know what I mean, cosmetic filler could.
Yes.
But you know, the thing I like about using really good topicals, eating a good diet, drinking water, you're giving yourself a better base to work off of, because if you have a poor canvas and then you try to use filler or something else, it's not going to get you the results that you could. But if you're starting out with this beautiful canvas, then the filler can just enhance it more.
I agree, right? 100%. You have to have the nutrition. You have to have the diet. You have to have everything. Like, you can't be a slob in all parts of your life and expect filler and Botox to
fix
that.
Right, and have these deep lines and be like, can you fix this with Botox?
Like, we do see patients who, like, you know, they party hardy or they live a hard-edged life, and, like, that does show up on your face. Mm-hmm. Like I tell people, I have a lot of clients who, you know, oh, I don't smoke, but I do smoke at parties. Like, when I'm having a drink, I'll have a cigarette. Well, that is going to age you by 10 years.
It's funny. I'm like the health guru, right? But like, you shouldn't smoke cigarettes because of all these different things. But tell a woman that will age her, and that's like her biggest motivator to not do certain
things. Forget about skin cancer, lung cancer, all that. Anti-aging.
It's kind of the reality. People reach out to me the most about anti-aging and skin.
We saw a patient this morning, and we did her under-eye filler, and she told me that same thing, that she smokes only when she goes to parties. So okay. I took out my phone. I have this free app. It's called Smoker Face. You definitely have to try it. It's horrifying.
I'm so glad I don't smoke.
Yeah, but you take a picture of yourself, and it'll morph your face and show you what 1 year, 5 years, 10 years of smoking will do to you. And it is quite shocking what 1 year of smoking does to your skin.
Is it that drastic? Because could it really be in that 1 year?
It really could be, yeah, because smoking changes the perfusion of blood flow to your face. It shrinks the blood vessels. As you know, nicotine is such a potent vasoconstrictor. Mm-hmm. And then also just decreases skin elasticity a lot. So I can pretty much tell when patients come in here if they're smokers or not without even asking.
How do you feel about, like, let's say they're a smoker and they quit, can they reverse some of the damage?
Yes, for sure. And also my friends who vape and who use, you know, smoking a lot of weed or marijuana.
Right now.
Yes.
Very into that.
And I wanted to ask you about that too, because my clients are talking about CBD and how it's so relaxing and how is it good for your skin. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, my thoughts on whenever something comes out that has this claim for fixing everything, I have a little bit of skepticism towards it, you know, because it's like, it obviously, like, the appetite, it can help, and it can help nausea, but now it's, like, good for skin, and it's good for this and that, and that. I mean, I don't know. A lot of people are using it for autoimmune disorder. I mean, I have one person who swears she's, like, in remission because of CBD.
Really?
So, yeah, I think that as far as, like, sleep, relaxation, nausea, a lot of chemo patients I've seen take Marinol or something that works really well. But I think the whole process of vaping and just having a vape pen is kind of trendy, and now, you know, it's more legal and easy in California, so I think we should still pay attention to the fact that if you are smoking, it's still not good for you.
It isn't, and there's so many carcinogens in marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So
at least the CBD oil I would prefer.
Yeah, if you have to take it, then using like the extracts of CBD would be probably preferable to smoking, don't you think?
Definitely.
So how did you decide to do all that pharmacy school and then not become a pharmacist? Because weren't your parents like furious? Like,
they were.
You spent all this money on pharmacy school and now you're going to do what in California?
Well, so I started working and just really hated it. That's like the honest raw truth. I didn't like the job environment. I didn't feel like I was using my education you know, once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Any tingling on your skin, by the way?
Yeah, my face is tingling.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much tingling?
5 to 6.
Okay, then that's plenty of layers for you. Okay. So, by the way, for our listeners who are just tuning in, we are doing a pretty peel for Bona because of her pigmentation concerns. She has gorgeous olive skin, just like I do, and I'm really familiar with olive skin and pigment concerns. So, what have you tried over the years for your pigment?
So when I first came to LA, I didn't even know I knew nothing about lasers. And, you know, sometimes you see certain doctors that just want to try everything on you. And I actually did a really aggressive laser at, like, 24.
Uh-huh.
I did, like, the CO2 laser.
What?
I know.
Seriously? That's why you had pigment.
Exactly. Well, I had pigment, so I was trying to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Looking back, I know better now. But I've done the Pico laser, like I was telling you earlier, is one I really liked. But I've done Profractional. I've done CO2. I've done Pico. And the issue I have is even if they take the pigment away, it comes back within like a month, 2 months.
Right.
Even if I don't go in the sun.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out how to actually keep it away for good.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely can use some pharmaceuticals, like the hydroquinone is a great bleaching product. And it's
been... Do you see these spots here?
Yes.
These just developed last summer, like out of nowhere. And now like, these are like real noticeable ones where they're like patches.
It's crazy. Like even a small amount of sun exposure can definitely put you over the edge with pigmentation. And it is a constant battle. So some people are looking for what's that one cure and quick fix. And I'm sad to say there isn't one. Like the person who unearths that is going to be like next to the Botox billionaire.
Right.
Right. But what you can do is like a really good sunscreen, vitamin C, which is a natural lightener, and then bleaching pads. Like I have great bleaching pads.
I'm so glad to try your bleaching pads.
Yeah, those have hydroquinone. They also, I like that they have kojic acid, arbutin, emblica, and some of the natural lighteners because there is not one mechanism of pigment. So you have pigment created by inflammation. Mm-hmm. Like for example, if you have acne, it creates pigmentation. And you have pigment that's created by threading and waxing, like the melasma mustache that people get. So don't do too much threading and waxing if you're getting that.
Just shave it, maybe.
Just shave it or laser it is better. Then you also have hormonal. Like in your 20s, your hormones are, you know, your female hormones are on fire. You are just the most feminine that you're ever going to be, which is wonderful, except for your pigment.
Right.
And add a little birth control on top of that, and then there
you
go.
That's my issue. I've been on birth control for almost 10 years. I just went off of it.
Yeah.
And pigment was like one of my biggest things. I was like, I just want to see if it will help.
Yeah, I think it will definitely help. Mm-hmm. The whole birth control industry, that's like a whole nother podcast all by itself.
Right.
Right? To unearth what women go through to... you know, to control fertility and the studies that have been done. Like, one of these days I have to dive into that.
So, I actually really want to ask you about filler because it's something I feel like you see. It's almost as common as, I don't even know, like...
As Botox.
A facial? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people are just getting it all the time. Everyone's posting about it. It's making it seem very casual. Like, do you think it's something that is... that easier, like doesn't have to be taken that seriously? Like, what's your take on it?
I think the role of filler is as a replacement for your natural volume. So when you see volume loss in an area, you'll notice that because you'll feel heaviness of your cheeks or hollowness under the eyes or jowling around the mouth. So the purpose of filler is to replace the youthful fat pads that are under your skin. As you age, and even starting in your 20s, you might be a person who's always had hollow under eyes because you were just never born with those nice fat pads.
Mm-hmm.
But as you age, everything atrophies, thins, deflates, and droops.
Yep.
Yeah, and so you need to really look at filler as a replacement of the natural fat pads of your face. Like, look at this. This is a great picture to show you that. So this is a young, youthful face. And look how dense the fat pads are and how they're tightly together and plump and juicy. And this face, the aging face, why does she start to get drooping and sagging? It's because of deflation and thinning of atrophy of those fat pads, and they spread apart. That's where you get the under eye hollow. That's where you get the nasal fold from, right?
Yep.
So when I use filler, I'm really recreating the youthful fat pads of the face. So filler can be exaggerated when it's overdone, when you have an injector who doesn't understand beauty and anatomy, and I think that that is the art of filler. And if you overdo filler, you also start to forget what you used to look like. So it's so important in our office, I track people's faces and I give them a beauty plan and I photograph them and I remind them what they used to look like.
That's interesting.
Yeah, when you do your lips, immediately your brain resets to this new, like, this is my lip. It's always been like this, but that's not the case. So So if you're someone who has big cheeks and you're like, oh, I liked them when they were bigger, well, let's go back to where you used to be and let's remind you why it's natural.
Do you think some people have the fear that, like, doing filler, you know, maybe starting in your mid-20s or young 30s, like, does it stretch out the skin? Are there any long-term
effects? No. So that's a completely unfounded and really good myth to bust, mm-hmm. because it does not. In fact, everywhere you put filler, you stimulate collagen to grow. And
even
Juvederm, because there is a needle stick, because there is some minor bruising, there is some platelet-rich plasma released, and there is some foreign body reaction, right? Your body knows it's not your own hyaluronic. So there is some metabolism and changes for aging.
Okay.
So I do think it perks up every skin type. But the best fillers, like Sculptra, the biostimulators, the Radiesses, they stimulate new collagen and growth. So you get a scaffolding of nice, pretty collagen left behind. So each filler kind of improves your outcome.
And do you Sculptra, you don't do on the face, do you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. So it's FDA approved for the last 20 years for the face. And that was the original use for it. It's not FDA approved for the fancy areas like the butt and other spots where I'm using it.
Because it lasts so much longer.
Yes, right, and then the face, it's such a nice rejuvenator. So someone who's really thin like yourself, all my athlete patients, people who've lost a lot of weight, so you have already a little hollowing in your temple. And as we get that temple hollowing, it's a matter of time before the upper eyelid feels heavier and before you start to get a little bit of, you know, sagging around the lower face. So temple filler is terrific. Sculptra is a foundation builder. I love that idea because the immediate fillers are wonderful, like your Juvederm, your Voluma, but you're renting that for a year.
Exactly.
You know, you're going to put that in there, it looks terrific, and you're going to see me in a year.
What about the fear that, like, if you don't like it? Well, I guess, I mean, a year is still a long time if you don't like it anyway.
So well, all your hyaluronic fillers can be dissolved if you don't like them. So Sculptra cannot be dissolved.
Right.
So you need to see an injector who's super good with their anatomy, and it's, you know, a particulate filler, which has more risk if it's injected into an artery. It can cause an occlusion.
Mm-hmm.
So super important to have someone who knows their stuff,
mm-hmm.
so you don't cheap out on that. But I love it because it is long-term. It's a two-year product. The collagen that you grow can last 5 to 10 years, and it just maintains you. So it's like the fountain of youth. All of our really skinny actresses, like the Madonnas, the Angelina Jolies of the world, who have, like, they're so skeletal. You see them in real life, they're so skeletal. But their faces are volumized and gorgeous, right? Like, they look amazing because they're maintaining with Sculptra. And some of our male actors, like the Matthew McConaughey's, who get all rugged and lose, like, 50 pounds for a movie, and then their face shows it, and then they're, for the next movie, they look great again. Like, facial fat doesn't work like that, but Sculptra does.
It does.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so it's sort of like the smart woman's amazing way to stay natural and lifted.
And what's cool is like the temples, like even myself, it's not even something I would ever think about. And maybe it's not something someone would be like, oh, their temples are showing they're old, but it's something that's just unspoken. And maybe you look at someone and be like, oh, she looks more youthful. And like,
yes, the temples is such a crazy hidden area of aging, but your brain has this amazing supercomputer ability to compute someone's age based on how thin they look here and how their cheeks look saggy or droopy. So the two things I would say to really work on to maintain beauty, temples and cheeks. Those are my two favorites.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I should consider temples.
You should consider it.
I will, because it's not.
Consider some Sculptra. I tell everybody.
It's not a scary area either. Like, I don't think it can, I don't know.
Yeah, you can't really get distortion of your face too much. Like, you can get some nice, pretty sculptured temples mm-hmm. easily. But I think if you're someone who's getting Botox, you're getting it because you notice crinkling and dynamic motion, like, especially around the eyes. So you'll reach a point where there's not enough neurotoxin or Botox to stop the crinkles because you have volume loss, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your face is like a balloon. When the balloon loses air, you get more crinkling.
Yep.
So you can put Botox there to smooth those, but if you really want a nice, pretty balloon, you need volume again.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that if you're someone who's getting Botox.
Interesting. I love that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, tell me some tips for my clients about your area of expertise, which is like, I wanted to go vegan, what are some of the things I can do to go plant-based?
I really think, I always say too, there's a lot of vegans or, you know, people who talk about plant-based diets who are maybe a little bit judgmental. I don't think that's the way to go. So even if you don't want to go 100% vegan or you just are curious about it, even if you're like 60-40, 70-30, like it's still a great step in the right direction because a lot of the benefits of a plant-based diet is like adding the foods versus subtracting foods.
Exactly.
So I would say if there's one thing I could recommend, it would be to cut dairy. That's like my first thing for everyone, just because it's so unhealthy. There's so many great alternatives, cheeses, milks, everything. Like, it causes inflammation and acidity. Mm-hmm. So I'd say to cut dairy. Follow Your Heart is a great brand of cheese. Kite Hill is a really great natural brand of cheese. It's just almond-based, so there's no soy. So look into that, and then just starting to add a lot more greens into your diet. Like, I start every day with a smoothie that's like 3 to 4 cups of like spinach and kale.
Yeah.
And once you make it, actually tastes really good. You put a lot of lemon, you don't even notice it, but already right there you're getting like almost 100% of your vitamin A and vitamin C.
Yeah.
So when you just like start that in itself will kind of heal your gut and help you a lot more than just being like, well, I can't have all my favorite foods, and then it becomes a stressful process. So slowly.
That's true. I like that idea of not putting yourself on an elimination where you're depriving yourself, but just adding all the good things. So that's a really great way to think of it.
And then you keep trying new things, and you slowly start educating yourself, and then as you go. I just don't believe in the culture. Unless you're enthusiastic about it, then do it. But if it's going to be torture, you're not going to stick with it.
Yeah, that's so true. What are your vitamins that you take every day?
So I am like very, very big and adamant on getting micronutrient tests, hormone levels checked. I'm always checking to see what my levels are, because when people ask me a vitamin I'd recommend, I can't really in good faith recommend one because you might not need everything. Mm. Like, my iron is perfect, and a lot of vegans think you need iron no matter what. I don't need any iron. My vitamin D is really low, my CoQ10 is low, and my omegas are low. So those are things I supplement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need that many just because I get so much in my diet with all the greens and veggies, but if you are plant-based or not, I would say like a B-complex vitamin, like B12 is good for everyone, especially if you have low energy.
Right.
That's when I'd recommend. Omegas are pretty good, especially if you're interested in hair health, skin
health. Yes, so really omegas are critical.
Omegas are hard if, I don't know, personally, vegan or not, whenever I've tried taking fish oil, the smell alone just makes me really nauseous. So a really good supplement could be algae. Like, you can get spirulina, you can get algae, chlorophyll.
Yeah,
that can really
true.
Help.
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Do you believe in chlorophyll?
I love chlorophyll.
And what kind of benefits do you think it gives you?
I just think, like, all around the minerals and antioxidants. I think, feel like people forget about minerals. We're always thinking about vitamins.
Yeah.
And minerals are really essential to our health, too. And I also just like it because it's an easy way to get in your nutrients. Like, when things are simple and, you know, like, especially it's not adding more things you have to eat or think about cooking, and it's just little drops you can put in. I like it.
Perfect. Yeah. What's some advice for skincare for people who are plant-based or want to be more naturalistic? I know you can use my line, which is made from lots of botanicals and no animal cruelty and very excellent pharmaceutical-grade ingredients.
I love that. And yeah. I do really like pharmaceutical-grade ingredients for skincare. Like I said, I love eating natural and clean, but when it comes to skincare and anti-aging, I don't think products like nothing against Lush, but something like that, or just using fruit extract, like, it's not ever going to do as much as a pharmaceutical grade ingredient will.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if you really want those results, that's the route you have to go. And it doesn't mean your skin will be bad, but if you really want to slow down skin aging, then my three favorite ingredients are vitamin C, vitamin E, and ferulic. That combo together. You know, you probably know they work so synergistically together.
That's one of the best antioxidant protections you can have is the CE and ferulic. And then I think if you can't do anything else, just at least do vitamin C and sunscreen every day.
And the vitamin E actually helps your sunscreen more. It helps you protect your skin from the sun even more. So I like doing it in the morning always.
Well, wonderful. So you just finished doing a pretty peel for your face. Mm-hmm. So you can expect.
Good.
Yeah. So your stinging's all gone. Mm-hmm. Little minor stinging, like a level 3, 4, 5 on the stingy scale, right?
Okay.
There should be no more stinging. The first 2 days you feel lighter, brighter, tighter.
We want you. By face and chest or just face?
Mainly on the face.
Okay.
Face and chest, actually, both. You'll go home and leave on this last layer, which is my Diamond Line Refine, which is like a really gentle, wonderful retinol with a lot of green tea and anti-inflammatories. Okay. And then just avoid direct sun. But you can go out with a hat and sunscreen. And then, so day 1 and 2, lighter, brighter, tighter. Day 3 and 4, you're going to get some mild eraser shaving peelies.
Okay.
Just don't pick or pull those. In the shower, you can gently roll those off. You can come out of the shower and put on a ton of nice moisturizer and sunscreen. And everything you use should be not active. So just super gentle, like baby wash, baby I have a great night cream for you to try and a wash too.
Love it.
And then neck and chest, same instructions. So on her neck and chest, we've done my Perfect Peel, which is more of an intermediate peel to get rid of some pigmentation, and same instructions. And you'll see by day 4 and 5, like, really pretty changes in the skin.
I'm so excited to see how this looks on the
Yay,
chest.
Yay, I am too. And I'd love to see you back. You can do another set of peels in 6 weeks. Remember, peels are like a better version of a facial. Because it exfoliates, it delivers a lot of ingredients inwards. The new technology peels, you don't get red, raw, or irritated. You actually will get those ingredients absorbing into the skin and showing you the brightness and lightness later on. So you may not even get a ton of peeling if you're someone who uses Retin-A products already.
And so they're still just as effective, they just don't have as much
right.
of a
downtime. Wow, not as cool. much downtime, which is beautiful. So get in the habit of doing do a series of peels, not just one. You want to do one every 6 or 8 weeks and kind of just bring that pigment up to the surface, and then it'll exfoliate away.
I think it's also important for people to know things don't have to hurt or be really aggressive to have those results. So
exactly.
You might think, oh, if I'm not peeling, it's not doing anything, but it will.
It definitely will, yeah. And it'll just enhance your beautiful glow.
Amazing.
Yay, and thank you so much for coming in today and being on our podcast. You guys, where can you find you, Mona?
I'm across the board at Dr. Mona Van, Dr. Mona Van. So Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, all of that.
So check her out and learn how to be a really healthy person. Add a lot of plant-based nutrition to your diet. And she is a pharmacist, so I trust her because she does her due diligence.
Thank you so much.
And this has been a really fun podcast. You guys tune in and subscribe. And you can find me on my Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K, and the website, same name, beautybydrkay.com. And stay beautiful.
Bye, guys. Thank you.